to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Okay, so
it's cold.
What do you consider cold in Massachusetts? I consider anything below 60 in California.
Such a good question. Oh no, we're single digits quite often.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I was out in my yard today. It's just sheer ice.
Wow.
Brr.
Well, it's nice and warm here on the edge.
Oh, lucky you. We need lots of hot drinks here in Massachusetts. Exactly.
Brains, I need you to sit up straight. I need you to put your respect on. I need you to heighten up your sense of awareness and sensitivity. I want you to open up your options and your choices, because this is going to be a heavy, controversial conversation, okay? And we're talking about abortion. Oh, yes, the big A. There is a lot of reasons why women have abortions. And don't think just because they're laying around and not using birth control. And we have a certified post-abortion life coach here, right there. That's Amanda Kingsley from Massachusetts. You know, and just from my understanding, I don't know how liberal they are in Massachusetts when it comes to things like that and legislation. But I don't care what anybody says. You can't tell me what to do with my womb. And a woman has a right to choose, and she has to live with that decision for the rest of her life. Okay. And I'm going to tell you a story about a woman that's really going to blow your wig back. Okay. Before we get to that, Amanda, thank you for having the courage to come on the edge, show your face. Folks don't want to be associated with this. They think that it is, you know, it's the devil incarnated. And so there's a lot of women out there. What is the statistics? 1 in 3?
Yeah, it's about 1 in 3 women in America for sure.
That have had an abortion.
Yep.
For whatever reason.
At least one in their life. And over 60% of those are already mothers.
Wow. All right. So if this is, you know, something that you don't agree with, I don't want no nasty comments, because if you call me out, it's on and popping. Okay. That's really not what you want to do. If you want to harass Amanda, that's really not what you want to do. So if you're not mature enough to handle this, click off now. Okay? Let's get started. How are you, wonderful? And welcome to On the Edge.
So excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you, because this is not a conversation that is comfortable for people to talk about. Not at all. Women do not talk about it. How did you get involved in this line of work?
Well, I have always had a calling and a draw to women's health. So I thought I would be a midwife. I ended up doing a lot of birth doula work. So attending labors, delivery, postpartum with women transitioning into motherhood. And I just labeled myself pro-choice, but it was sort of a default label. I graduated with a bachelor's in women's studies. It was just sort of like, I'm a liberal woman, pro-choice was my gig. Just like, if I had to label myself, that's what it was. And then I had my own 3 children. And when I had my first unplanned pregnancy, I married my high school sweetheart. So we'd been together for, we've now been together over 20 years. First unplanned pregnancy. And it shook me up. Because suddenly that pro-choice label got really real. Mm-hmm. And I knew what I needed to do for our family. I knew what I needed to do for myself, for my marriage, but it was hard. It was emotional. It was, it just really shook me up. And the hardest part was that there was very little support. there's sort of one narrative that says abortion is a sin, it's terrible, don't do it. There's another narrative that says abortion is healthcare, have an abortion, move on with your life. And I found myself like in the middle, like, yes, this feels like healthcare. This is a particularly mental, emotional healthcare. But I don't feel like I'm just going to get over it and move on with my life. So now what? And so I've committed myself to being what I wish I had, which is someone to talk to me about all the feelings.
Wow. So when you made your choice, did you go to spiritual advisors? Did you go to, you said there was very little support. Were you able to turn to your mother, your girlfriends? Yeah.
Making the choice, I had good support. My healthcare professionals were super supportive just at my OBGYN. I had friends who were supportive. My husband was supportive. My mother was supportive. It shook us all up. It wasn't easy for all of us, but I was loved and supported. I didn't feel like I had to hide. I didn't feel like I had no access. It was the emotional support that I got lost in. And when it was over, there was this energy of, well, you picked it, so now just move on. Like, you, this is what you wanted, move on. And I just had I had to grieve. I had shame about getting pregnant in the first place. All those years of safe sex. And I was like, what? My IUD fell out.
One night you just went rogue. I ain't mad at you.
I thought I had an IUD in place. It fell out. I didn't know. Birth control is not 100%. We know that when we choose it, but it has statistics, right? 98% effective, 99% effective. We just tell ourselves, well, that won't be me. That's my story. There's lots of ways that people get pregnant that are not that story. But for me, I had a lot to process afterwards. I didn't know who I was anymore. I was always the pro-choice woman who said, not for me, right? I support you, but not for me. That's not something I would choose. I would keep the baby.
You know, there's a lot of reasons. Let's just check off some of the boxes.
Yeah.
Medical reasons. Maybe the fetus has some sort of birth defect.
Yeah.
Maybe this is incest. Maybe this is rape. Maybe this is because you've had multiple partners and you don't know who the father is.
Yep.
Maybe it's just not somewhere that you can be and you feel that you can support your child, take care of your child. Maybe you're having thoughts of doing this because you're married, you're messing around with a married man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reasons. This could be detrimental to your own personal health.
Yeah.
Okay. But I still say that the government or Betty Sue down there in Kentucky, I'm just using Kentucky, you have no right to tell April Lorraine Mahoney what to do and when to do it. You weren't there at the point of conception and you don't know what's going on. I know a woman, I'm not going to disclose a whole lot of information. This woman had 28 abortions. 28 abortions. Back in the day when abortions were not legal, some of these, most of them probably were self-induced or they were administered by a woman in some bedroom somewhere with some tools that she picked up at the hardware store to terminate the pregnancy. 28. I had another woman that came on my show that talked about having 9 miscarriages. Mm-hmm. 9. And she was still with her husband. She didn't believe in, you know, birth control. And mm-hmm. she wanted to have children. But he wasn't no good. Mm-hmm. You know, after miscarriage number 4, she went to call him up at work and tell him to come pick her up. Girl, he hadn't worked at that job in 30 days. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's another choice. I had another woman that told me that she was visited by the children that she aborted.
Mm-hmm.
in their spirit. Yeah. They want to come and see their mother.
Mm.
So brains, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff going on out there. You know, a woman should have a right to choose in a safe environment where she can have proper consultation. She can have proper medical treatment. Should it be paid for by the government? Absolutely. If I pay my taxes for, you know, private jets and luxury cars, yeah, I think that it should be paid for by the United States government if I'm paying taxes and I have medical insurance. You can agree. We can agree to disagree. Okay, so now a woman makes this choice. She goes in and goes into an establishment. She has a consultation, her option. She goes home, she weighs it. She has the abortion. And then afterwards, the trauma, you know, because when you wake up, you're not waking up with this little infant in your hand. This is not the infant that you're going to turn on to another family to adopt. This is a fetus inside of a jar that could be used for, you know, whatever. We have to be honest with that too, because they do use some of these fetuses for medical tests and medical treatment. They use the stem cell for blood. So there's a lot of things that are done as well. But then they come to you and they're tattered and torn and all forlorn. Where do they begin the recovery?
Yeah, I say the first step always is to honor your feelings. Just allow a lot, you know, we have a lot of suffering and then we have suffering about our suffering, right? So we have some guilt or we have some shame or we have some sadness. And then we have a whole story about how we shouldn't have shame or guilt or sadness. And so the first step for me is just allow all the feelings, notice them, listen to them. Do your best not to beat yourself up for having them. Believe they all serve a purpose, right? So for me, the first step is to just start to bring awareness to what are these feelings I'm having and where are they coming from? Are they coming from thoughts I have had my whole life? Are they coming from beliefs in the culture or community I live in? Are they mine? Sometimes we have this deep sadness or guilt or shame, and it's not even ours. Right. It's like old cultural beliefs or our grandmothers or, and so some of our thoughts are conscious and some of our thoughts are unconscious, and all of those thoughts are creating feelings. Mm-hmm. And so to just allow, just be, and you don't have to act on all the feelings. You don't have to freak out. Just kind of like let them all be there and notice and pay attention. And that alone can be so super healing.
It can be super healing. Yeah. So you allow these feelings and then you work through all of the background noise.
Yeah.
You know, the shame that you don't talk about it, that you hide it, and that you are fearful that you will never conceive again.
Yes. You know these stories well.
I'm from South Central LA. I done had to take a couple of my girlfriends to the clinic.
Yep.
And been devastated and been supportive. But you know, I'm gonna tell you something that concerns me.
Mm.
A situation that happened with my daughter.
Mm.
My daughter was not pregnant. A friend of hers was pregnant. And we're somewhere and she's antsy and she's going around and I'm saying, what's wrong? She says, I've got an appointment I've got to get to. And I said, well, where are you going? Planned Parenthood. Planned who? You know, I'm the super cool mom. You can talk to me about anything. I'll take you to get birth control. I'll wait outside. You know, what do you need? She says, no. She says, I have a friend that had sex with a guy and he violated her. And so now she's concerned and she wants to get the morning after pill.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm saying to myself, well, why are you going? She says, because she's scared to go and I'm going to go get it for her.
Hmm.
That's not what we're going to do.
Hmm.
If there's complications, if she bleeds out, mm-hmm. if this was a case of rape, whatever the situation was, I'm concerned about checks and balances when it comes to this. You know, there's young girls that are out there that are 13 years old, 14 years old, that go to these clinics. the morning after pill. I don't really understand what that is. I think that that's a form of abortion. You know, to me, and like I said, I'm not a clinical professional, but at the point of conception, when that heartbeat starts, that's my opinion. Mm-hmm. I still think that a woman has a right to choose. What do you think about some of those things?
Yeah, first of all, it's very different. I mean, if you believe the morning after a pill is abortion, you have to also believe birth control pills are abortion, because essentially the morning after pill is just a couple of birth control pills. And they stop the process of continuing of a pregnancy implanting in the uterus, essentially. So if you believe that, you have to believe that, which some people do. And that is your right to believe. I hear what you're saying about making sure that people who are taking, not in particular the morning after pill, because really that's just birth control, essentially. It's the same exact thing. The abortion pills, however, we can technically access for someone else. And then what does that mean for care? Then we come back to your story about 28 abortions and, you know, God knows how, right? Whatever method possible. And so what we do know about medical abortions and the abortion pill is that it's very safe. It's statistically very safe. So best case scenario, we have care. If it's my daughter, God, I hope she's coming to me and talking to me about it. I hope she's not getting pills for her friends. But in the end, it is not that dangerous a thing. I don't want to encourage it. Please don't do it. Please get the care you need. Find the adults who will support you. But my medical, I mean, and this is not my world. I'm all about the emotions and the life afterwards. But in terms of accessing the abortion itself through pills, which is possible, and that's different than the morning after pill. Yeah. It is proven to be incredibly safe. So,
okay. All right. Yeah. And with technology, yeah. I believe that that's incredibly safe. But as you said, mamas and daddies, have that talk with your children.
Sex, yes, there you go. That's the real thing. Where is our sex ed?
Sex is the best thing in the world. Okay. I can do it every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's better than coffee. Okay, but again, there is, you know, the talk about the penis and the vagina, you know, you talk about your eyes, your nose, your hands, you discover every other part of your body. You have to let your children know that that belongs to them and that you shouldn't be violated.
Yeah.
You have to talk to them about love and honor and dignity and being clean, being respectful. No means no. Yeah. Girls and guys. I'm telling you, there's some split tails that's pretty aggressive out there, you know? So having that talk and letting 100%. Them know, right. But having that talk and whether you agree, yes, it's very, very difficult. But what's even more difficult is when you have to have a conversation like this about making a choice, whether to keep or abort, or your child running away and you never seeing them, or your child giving up your grandchild for adoption. You know, and the emotion that you're going to have to live with instead of preventing it and having this conversation and allowing them to have birth control. There are some religions, I'm not going to mess with your religious doctrine, okay? But you better teach them how to count that rhythm method. Because young people are going to do it. And older people are going to do it. There's, like I said, I gave you a laundry list of reasons why women have abortions. Let me ask you something, Amanda. Do you support the males that are subjected to this as well? Because, you know, there's a lot of caring men out there.
I know.
A lot of supportive men.
I certainly be open to work with men. It's not something I really market or talk about. But I do think it's a whole nother, this entire field of mental health, this entire field itself around reproductive justice and reproductive care, reproductive health is very underserved. So I absolutely think we need to be having these conversations with men. I have two podcast episodes with men sharing their experience from that side of it. There's so many conversations to be had. I think the men are experiencing all the feelings I talked about, and in some ways have even less spaces to talk about what they're feeling. And then also, what does it mean? What does it mean to support your partner through this? What does it mean to show up and be there for someone who their body carrying a pregnancy? And it's no joke. I don't know exactly how many kids you have, but it's no joke.
Well, let me tell you, I only took the test one time. I passed with an A and I'm done. I'm done. I didn't, you know, yeah. I thank God that I had never, you know, had an abortion. I never had any pregnancy except for my daughter. And I'll tell you the main reason why. My mother was pregnant at 14 years old. Mm-hmm. And it was her first time. And she got pregnant with my brother. Mm-hmm. When she had me growing up, she taught me that my virginity was the most precious thing in the world. Mm-hmm. And that I was beautiful and that I was worthy and that I was strong and don't let anybody take advantage of me. She never, you know, we always had the sex talk, but it wasn't about, girl, you better not do this. And if you do that and do this, she always raised my level of worth mm-hmm. and my level of self-esteem and made me feel proud and honored. And she said, any man that is with you should be honored because you are a queen. I was a mm-hmm. queen before I was a princess when it came to my mother. And I remember a friend of mine's mother telling me, oh, no, you shouldn't use birth control because it's dangerous. It's this, it's that. And I had to take her daughter to the clinic to have an abortion. So all of that chitter chatter. I have another, one of my daughter's friends. I felt so bad. She wanted to come to me to help her decide whether to keep the baby, have an abortion. And the only place I could direct her was to her mother, which was, you know, a horrible set of circumstances after that, you know, but it's what you have to do. But this is the cycle of life. Yeah. This is, it's human nature. You know, people are going to touch it, feel it, sniff it, all that kind of stuff. But if you prepare your children, then I don't think that you'll have as many problems and them lying to you and hiding and sneaking because they're afraid of you. Do you really want your child afraid of you? You know, do you want your girlfriend afraid of you to the point where she can't tell you that she's pregnant? Now, at a certain point, I think that a maturity level should kick in. And again, you should attempt to use birth control. But like you said, it's not 100%. It's not 100%. And what happens?
It's not.
I have a guest that's coming on. She had two sets of twins within 26 months. I know. And then you have people that are doing fertility drugs, and it was bad, you know, a few years ago. It's leveled off now where they were having multiple births, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a lot of reasons that people make these choices and options. So as you work with beautiful women and some men through this process, what do you hope to achieve on the other side?
Yeah, really my biggest goals for my clients is that they give themselves permission to feel it all and perspective and shift out and look back and remember why they made their choice, because they made their choice with a life in mind, to be a better mother to the children they already have, to find a safe, healthy relationship, to move, to get a job. They made their choice with something in mind. And then when all the feelings flood in, they forget why they made their choice. So when we can scan back out and shift our perspective and remember why we made our choice, and then start living for that, start processing those feelings and taking those action steps to live that life you made your choice for, I think we can honor our abortions. We can learn a lot from them. My abortion made me a stronger person. It made me a wiser person, made me a more compassionate person, a less judgmental person. And so now, you know, when I looked at that unplanned pregnancy test, I thought my life was over. Mm-hmm. And now it's a gift, right? This whole experience has been such a gift for me. It's allowed me to connect with people. And I think that we can all have some version of that story, that I had this experience, totally rocked my world. And here's what I did next, right? Now what? We can't take it back. We can't go back. But what do we want to do next? How do we want to move forward? And I just love those words, just honor your abortion.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
That's heavy. People, they don't look at it in that context. There's always so much shame associated with it. And you were a bad, evil person. And you did this and you did that. You know, and again, we have to honor every decision that we make.
Yeah, and it comes back to what you said, which is all of these listeners, the ones who've made it through and the ones who will see this and not hit play, 1 in 3 women they know have these experiences. And that doesn't matter what religious culture you're in or what city you live in. This is just a fact. And if we can all look at our Facebook friends list, right, and say 1 in 3 of the people on this list, because 1 in 3 of the men are touched by it too. Maybe even more, because they have more partners in terms of, like, it's not just their bodies, right? It's other women's bodies. And so to have that compassion and perspective to say, how can I think about this a different way? Because it is affecting people I know, that's a guarantee. And if they're not talking to you about it, it's because they don't feel safe.
Right.
And so what is the reason for that? And that comes back to those parenting conversations. How do we create safe spaces for the people we love?
Exactly. And too, for the people that have had these abortions, again, like you said, to feel safe and not feel like they're judged. Some of them go into deep depression, suicidal. Sometimes they don't want to talk. Sometimes it totally inhibits their ability to enjoy sex.
Yes, absolutely.
And let me tell you, life without an orgasm is, oh my God, it's like not having ice cream in the world.
How boring. I do find that a lot of women have one abortion and they feel really empowered by it. They know they made the right choice. Then they find themselves facing a second abortion and it stirs up a lot more feelings. So I think a lot of us think we can have this experience, put it in a box and never think about it again. And there are lots of times that it comes back up. And it's always, whatever your thoughts are about it, they're always there. Just because you ignore them doesn't mean they go away. So if you feel this shame, everything else in your life that you feel shame about, there's a little whispering voice. Remember that abortion? Remember that abortion? And so we can't really just pack it up and put it away and move on. We got to feel our way through it.
Yeah. And you got to feel the feels.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you'd be caught up in your feelings. Well, you know what? You are amazing. As again, like I said, for dedicating, being honest, you know, being transparent.
Yeah, it's messy and it's nuanced and there's not one story that makes it all make sense because it's just so unique and we got to talk about it all.
And so you are not a part of any women's healthcare clinic or anything like this. You are an
I'm not.
Coach. So tell my brains a little bit about you, your program, and how they can get in contact with you and reach out to you for support.
Yeah, I am an independent coach. My website is Amanda Starr Kingsley. That's actually my middle name, S-T-A-R, Amanda Starr Kingsley. You can find me there on Instagram and Facebook. That is sort of my handle. And I work with clients mostly one-on-one. Do have some workshops. I do have some group programs and I offer a lot of free content. Instagram is where you'll find most of my free content, my email list, and my podcast. So a lot of people just are looking for a place to listen, and the podcast can be really helpful for that. It's called Speaking Light into Abortion. Most people who come to me say they've binged listened multiple episodes and finally felt like they weren't alone. So I try and provide a balance of a lot of content in a lot of different ways. Because this is a big conversation and there's not a lot of us having it.
No, it's not. And it's fear.
Yeah.
But I'm not afraid of you. I love you. I do.
Fear. Really do.
Yep. Courageous women, you know, willing to support men through trying times, through troubling times, helping someone make a decision. I think that's one of my pet peeves, is indecisive people that can't make a decision.
Yeah.
And when you make a decision, you have to own it.
Yeah, I think my most healing, the best thing I did for myself was to decide and then have my own back. And I said, before I had my abortion, no matter what you feel, you need to have your own back. Because I knew, I didn't know how I was going to feel. I knew I it felt like the right decision, but I didn't know what was going to happen. And so glad you said that. Having your own back is everything.
All right. Well, you got our back, front, and oops, a little of the middle. Here on The Edge, Brains, I want you to go back and subscribe. We've got some great heavy conversations with some heavy hitters. We've got magicians, we've got musicians, we've got cooks, we've got magic, we've got mayhem. We got a whole lot of love here, and that's what we're doing. We're providing you options and choices. What you do with them, that's up to you, but you can never say that no one ever told you, right? Thank you, Amanda. I think you're the secret sauce.
So welcome. Thank you.
Bye, Brains. Be careful.